Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that we can all do all things through Christ who strengthens us, huh? Let's take a walk down and through the Eternal Hall of Fame. The Eternal Hall of Fame. I took a walk with the Lord down the Eternal Hall of Fame. And on the walls were pictures. I couldn't see what the pictures were about. I just knew that they were his creations, things that he's done. And the hall was, and it didn't have any ending to it. And when I looked at a picture, it was like a canvas with a frame, but I couldn't see what was in it. And I heard him say, these are called fabrics of time. These are fabrics of time. I'm thinking, fabrics of time. Wow. He said, yes, fabrics of time and frameworks of my hand. So it was like a fabric that was being put together, sewed together or painted together, but it had to be put into a frame. And these are known as fabrics of time. Hallelujah. So he gave me a teaching on this. Genesis chapter 3. I found it quite interesting, especially what we're going through right now, what the world is going through. Thank God we don't have to go through it. We're already through it. We're waiting for everybody else to catch up. That's the difference in walking in the Spirit or not. Those things, okay. Well, such and such and this and that says this and that says that and whatever and all of this stuff. And don't matter. But you walk in the Spirit, you're already at the breakthrough. You're already there. Now you're waiting for everything to catch up to you. Genesis 3:17. Then the Lord said to Adam, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. Now don't take this personally, all right? And have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Curses the ground for your sake. And in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. In other words, the provision from God is going to cease. He's going to have to work out. He's going to have to plant, grow. Does everybody get it? He's going to have to grow food. He's going to have to water. In other words, the provision that was provided for him was no longer. Verse 18. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. And sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Now, this is, of course, when we talk about living, it means that mother of a new reality, a different reality. Because we don't know how many children they had before this. We don't know what happened before this. That's all we knew is that the first two children were not of her. I mean, they were of her, but not of Adam, Cain and Abel. But then after that, the word tells us, Seth was Adam's first child. Okay, anyways, I'm not going to get into all that. Now, verse 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made what? Tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put his hand out and take of the tree of life and eat of it and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. Think about that. So God took him from that earth, the ground, the dust, created him, put him in another place, a true reality. He was put into the eternal reality where everything was provided for him. He had eyes to see angels and everything else, got to walk with the Lord and everything. But when he blew it, all of that was removed. Verse 24, so the Lord drove the man and placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So they couldn't get back to it. They were removed from the true reality to a false temporary reality. And this reality was devised by Satan. That's what the whole purpose was to try to get him in a false reality devised by Satan's kingdom. The ground was cursed, that man would be supplied food for himself, clothing, shelter. The earth would supply everything the man needed. But man had to cooperate to get the provision from the earth, from the dust, from the ground. Amen? By planting and reaping. Now, one of the things the Lord did was you got to remember that God clothed him with tunics, didn't he? So the garments of divine nature was the glory of God in their life. The garments of the fallen nature was called corruption or flesh. Corruption or corruptive flesh. It was animal skin and hide. Now think about this. After that, they had to survive killing animals to be clothed. They had to grow and wait for things to come. They had to find other things that they could eat from. This was a process of time that they had to go through until things began to grow and they could feed. Think about cotton. How was the material made? Well, it's a plant, isn't it? And they can learn how to put it together before they could weave it. Again, the garments of divine nature was the glory of God, and the garments of the fallen nature we call corruptive flesh. And God put animal skins on it because it was a life for life. They used hides. The change of fabric from the glory to skin. From God's glory to a skin. It was a change of fabric. It was a fabric of time change. Everything was changing now. Again, the change of fabric from glory to skin was a change of the time and shift in reality. Everything changed from that point on. And we've been trying to come out of this ever since. God has had a plan. That's what we call grace, a plan of what? Escape. Ever since then. So we've been in a fabric of time, and then comes another shift in time. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the what? Was the Word. Now, the Word is fabric. The Word is the fabric of time. Why? Because He's the holder of all time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what did God use to create things? His Word, fabric. Amen? He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Again, the Word is the fabric of time used to interwine creation. And attach, so He takes this fabric to intertwine in the creation, this fabric of time, and He attaches it to the framework of purpose. I'm going to say the framework of purpose. Everything is a fabric of frequency that releases the purposes in God's framework. So I want you to begin to look at the area to where he's actually building a what? Picture. And where's it going to hang? The Eternal Hall of Fame. Another one. What does he say? He's going to grab everything from all folds, isn't he? You know, we don't know nothing. I mean, we're a bunch of peanut brains. But thank God we have the mind of Christ. And what he's given us, we can overcome and sustain. But there's so much more. Come on, think about it. He created the universe. We can't even handle what he created here. And all the things that's glorious and awesome, and day and night, and the calculation between the distance and the sun and the earth and all the stars and this. Come on, this is crazy. If we absorbed half a speck of it, we'd blow up. That's why he had to have multidimensional levels to be able to communicate with us. He said, I get too close, so you're going to blow up. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5. So what is the word? It's fabric, isn't it? You know, everything that's going on in the world today, we can try and calculate, figure out, do this, do that, and whatever, but there's so much beyond it. There's so much beyond. And I think we're getting ready to go to another level of beyond. This fabric, this picture, this beautiful artwork that God is interwining and putting together is going to be tossed aside. It's going to be hung again as one of his trophies. Because he don't lose. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. Let's speak it. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, what's a tent made of? Is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we are in this tent grown, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life, eternal life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, in this tent, this fabric, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This tent, this fabric connected to earthly house of framework will one day be removed and all the strains will be removed. One, two of the things that always constantly are connecting to us from kind of preventing us is reasoning. Reasoning and corruption. People have to reason everything out. Because, see, reasoning is a guillotine of faith. And these are the things that will be removed from all the restraints of reasoning and corruption will be removed from us. Again, we're individuals that like to figure out and calculate everything. We want to know it. And we want to know it now. And the only reason we want to know it now is because we want to fix something now. We live in the now, but that's where God is trying to break us from the bondage of living in the now and living from the present to the now. Because when we live from the present to the now, we already know it's going to work to the good. Amen? But you don't know what I went through. Thank God I don't need to. God knows. But if you keep your focus on Him, He'll bring you through. See, every one of your prayers is going to be answered. I didn't say they'd be all yeses, but they're going to be answered. And the thing is, it's always in His time. I remember something 15 years ago when He answered that prayer. Of course, what took you so long? I mean, you're God and I'm not. But see, that's reasoning. That's trying to figure out why did you take, because He's got a purpose. Some things aren't released yet because it would be harmful to us, but we don't think so. I mean, when I was out there in the drug world doing drugs and all kinds of stuff, a maniac out there, I thought, man, if I could just get enough money, I could stop all this stuff. Right. Don't work that way. All of our hope is in the name of Jesus. Amen. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He's our provider. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. It's when we begin to drift from that or compromise or reason. Well, God, are you going to do this? He says He will. The whole thing is when. And sometimes things move faster than others. And we can't figure that out. Why? The whole thing is the more you sow, the more you reap. Amen? So the more you sow in the Spirit, I can tell you the faster God moves. And the more you worship, because, you know, the currency of heaven is faith. And the more faith comes, the more things you're able to purchase. Does everybody get it? Because there's a price to everything. But in this price, we got to be willing to pay it. But He still works all things to the good, doesn't He? He's still going to work things out. Sometimes a delay is because it's protection. And sometimes we brought it on ourselves. Hallelujah. Matthew 27, verse 50. Are we going to speak this together? Well, that's a good thing. Are you sowing in the Spirit when you speak it? So who don't want you to sow in the Spirit? Your enemy. Your flesh, the old man. You know, we got to get that to that place where we know that the enemy's trying to stop us and your old man is trying to stop you from doing anything that would involve God blessing you, freeing you, and healing you. That's who our fight is. It's not against anything else. We don't fight flesh and blood. So many times we lose sight of that. Hallelujah. Verse 50, let's speak it. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earthquake and the rocks were split. Now wait a minute. Was the veil fabric? Ah. Now I want you to grab this picture. The veil was torn, right? It's made of fabric. God's the creator of fabric of time. What did He do? Whoosh. He changed everything. He tore it Himself. Whoosh. Daddy the Father. Because of what His Son paid. Whoosh. Ripped it. The fabric of time was now entering a whole new time. He did it. He made a way. And He brought what did He do with this? He tore the old covenant and brought a new one. I don't know if you ever watched President Trump's speech when Pelosi ripped what he said. She should have been arrested for, you know, damaging government property, but yeah, can you imagine that? But again, God Almighty tore the fabric of time that he created, and he said, let's get rid of the old and bring a new. And I'm going to pour out my spirit. I'm going to change things around. And I'm going to have children that are carry my fabric of time now. A different fabric. It's called a new wine. A new wineskin. Everything's going to be different now. Oh, happy days. Okay, let's finish this. Hallelujah. And then what happened? Graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Oh, snap. And coming out of the graves after Jesus rose from the dead. So the tombs were open. People were seeing. Man, look at it. But they weren't live yet. And 3 days later, they came out with Jesus. And they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Come on now. I mean, that just blows me away. I hope he does it again. I hope he raised, you know, opens the tomb. The Bible says that, you know, those who have been asleep will be raised first, right? Man, if he just gives us 5 more minutes, we can run and call, look at him, alive! I ain't going to be here much longer. I'm booking out of here. So let me tell you about Jesus before I book. Gone. I think a lot of, but see, the removal of the body is going to be global. It won't just be in a location. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, it was in his location. It was all those he had ministered to at that time. But this is going to be a global event. The tombs will be open. People, I don't think they're going to see the bodies. I think he's just going to go, because it says we're going to change in a twinkling of an eye. And you who are alive, the only thing they're going to see is your jewelry. And what else do you have? Fake on you. Hallelujah. Picture that one, huh? Glory to God. Teeth, you know. Glory. Okay. Hebrews 9, verse 11, please. But Christ came as a what? High priest of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained an eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is mediator of the what? New covenant. The new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Powerful. New covenant. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, please. Do we begin again to what? Commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are the epistles written in our what? Heart. Wow, it's fabric. Amen. Known and read by all men. So we are a fabric of time now. Written and read by men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of the flesh. That is of the what? Heart. Yes. For we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of this new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives what? It gives life. That's where the fabric was torn with new covenant. No more letter, relationship. Amen. Verse 7, but if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not even be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, that same veil, that same fabric, remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Why? Because the fabric of old has been torn, hasn't it? But those who are still living in the Old Testament, that fabric is still there, that veil. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is what? Taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Powerful. Written on eternal fabric, timeless fabric. We're a timeless fabric of creation as a new creation, a new covenant of promise. You know, when you think about it, many historians are always looking for, and those that are, what do you call them, that are always looking for fossils to read. Who? Archaeologists, yeah. Yeah, they're always looking for something, because things can be carbon dated now, not that it's perfectly timing. But they're looking for something to find out time. Fabric of time. Everything has got a fabric to it. Everything has got a time connected to it. Whether they found a engraved fish somewhere or a stone. I mean, look at diamonds. Look at such fabrics of time, how they're produced after many years. Starts off a coal and turns into a diamond. Well, you and I are known as God's jewels. We're his jewels. We're the fabric. We're a timeless fabric now. Amen. Oh, happy days. Written, we are written on eternal fabric, timeless fabric of new creation, a new covenant of promise. Again, the world carbon dates things. That's how they find out fossils or whatever. Or even the writings. Look at the writings that they found, the Dead Sea Scrolls that they found. What a talk about a fabric of time. God's written, they wrote about God's words. And it changed everything. It confirmed everything. Go to Exodus 28, verse 1. Now take Aaron, your brother, and his brothers with him from among the children of Israel, that they may be, that they may what? Minister to me as priests. Are we to minister to him as priests? Yeah. Aaron, Eleazar, and Itamar, you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate them, that he may be what? Ministers to me as a what? Priest. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that they may minister to me as priests. Well, we have holy garments now. What is the garment that you and I carry? It's called the garment of praise. Why? Because to become a priest, you must be ministering to the Lord. It means you're a praise and worshiper to the Lord. Amen. God restores the temple garments of service. And he filled the individuals that were going to be making these things with his spirit so they'd be like-minded. Amen. It's for service. It's for service. But we're to service to him first before we can service to the world. So many people don't know how to minister to the Lord, and they're out trying to minister to people. They're disqualified. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, I get to speak to many different types of humanites. And, you know, there are people... People are zealous for the Lord. They get saved. They want to do it. I want to do this for God. I want to do that for God. I want to go out there and do this. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But you got to be sent. God wants to send you. But he ain't going to send you unprepared. He's going to send you with his presence and glory. Amen? And so many people, because of the zealous, I mean, wasn't Saul zealous for God? But he was killing believers. Until the Lord slapped him off his horse and said, yo. But again, and I've spoken to many individuals, and they want to do all kinds of stuff, and there's nothing wrong with it. Don't get me wrong. But I always ask them, well, are you connected? Are you connected to a fellowship? Are you a worshiper? Are you well, no, I watch ministry on TV. Bro, that doesn't qualify you, man. You gotta get into a fellowship where you can worship God and get the presence of God, because you must fulfill your priesthood before you become a warrior. And that's why many people fall out there. And there's still many people have backslidden, and then they try to reconcile themselves and feel better about themselves by doing things for God instead of waiting on God to restore them. Because they first must be restored in God's presence. Amen? See, they're trying to restore themselves in God's words, but that ain't enough. You got to be restored in God's presence. Amen? That's where it goes. God's presence. And that's the fellowship of worship. Then you allow God to build a house, and in due time, he'll send you. In his time, not in ours. Amen? Glory. Is everybody okay? Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter, did we go there yet? Chapter 2, verse 9. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Never justify yourself by works. Amen. Never justified by works. Well, I'm a good person. Forget that. None of us is good. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 9, let's speak it. It says, but you are what? A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you might proclaim the what? Praises of him. Who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. A royal priesthood that proclaims his praises. Why? Because you carry the garment of praise. Amen. Oh, let's go there. Isaiah 61. You know, when we're searching things out and we need counsel from the Lord. Amen. The first thing you want is get in His presence. Always His presence. Counsel from His presence first. That's why I always ask people, well, what would the Lord tell you? Well, Pastor, I need counsel. Okay, well, what did the Lord tell you? Did He tell you to call me? Well, I don't know. Well, go get in God's presence and find out what He's telling you. Because usually there's a confirmation, a witness in my spirit. And usually He tells me before they even come to me. But again, no matter what it is, and we want the counsel of the Spirit of God, not the spirit of the man. That's what we want. Why? Because the counsel of the Spirit of God changes everything. The counsel of the spirit of man is only wisdom from the world, and it just brings nothing but more pride. Hallelujah. The garment of praise. Let's speak it. Verse 1. We're going to proclaim this in our lives, okay? Isaiah 61. So let's speak it together. Everyone say it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He's to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be what? Glorified. The garment of praise. That's a new fabric, isn't it? It's a timeless fabric. Woohoo! God is causing a change right now, big time, globally. Go to Jeremiah 18. Taking a walk down the Eternal Hall of Fame. Listen, when we get home, we'll be able to see all of those pictures. Those timeless fabric pictures that of all the things He's done. Think about that. That's awesome. I'm excited. Jeremiah 18. Verse 1, please. The word which came to Jeremiah, everybody there? From the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I'll cause you to hear my words. In other words, to what? Fabric. I've got fabric for you there. And then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the what? Wheel. Well, you know, when what do you call those when they are making material? The wheels that make a weave? Yeah, weaving. He was weaving. This is all timeless fabric, you know. Woohoo. And verse 4. And at the vessel and the vessel that he had made of clay, is clay material? Is it fabric? Yeah. Why? Because he created it. Anything he created is fabric. Was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a king, to pull a kingdom, to pluck up and pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent from the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my what? Come on, read it with me. Then I will what? Relent. Concerning the good which I said I would benefit it. So he didn't hold back, wouldn't he? Now, therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. This is what's going on right now. Everywhere. Globally. Amen? We call it a sting operation from God. Because that's what it is. He's exposing everything. He's changing the fabric of things. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Mark chapter 2, verse 18. God is causing a change of fabric and remove the old garments of corruption to put on the new garments of praise. Mark 2, verse 18, the disciples of John and of the Pharisees were what? Fasting. Then they came and said to Jesus, why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into an old wineskin, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into what? New wineskins. That's what God is creating. These garments of praise are creating new wineskins. There's an exchange of your wineskin. There's a period of time when all of a sudden there's an exchange. You can just sense it. Just loose. It goes. Then a new one comes on you. Because you're reaching another level of praise and worship. We are the fabric of new wineskin with the heavenly wine of the Spirit. What a blessing. Psalm 104. Fabric of time. You know, they found supposedly where Jesus, remember how they wrapped the dead? And they found the shroud that he was wrapped in? And they were able to determine the impression of where the blood was and everything, that it was a shroud, Jesus' time. It was they're believing that this was the shroud that Jesus was wrapped in. That's called a fabric of time. Hallelujah. Psalm 104, in verse 1. Bless the Lord, all my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with a light as with a garment. You who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. Is a curtain a garment? Yeah. So a garment, curtain, it's all fabric, isn't it? He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place which you founded them for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. Again, garments of fabric, all about his time. You can see everything he's created is considered a fabric. And I'm going to close at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. what does it say? And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. And for by his plan you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, but as of a cooperation. Amen. For we are as what? We are as what? Workmanship. We are the timeless fabric, the garment of praise, the walking epistle, printed with him. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. So, no, everything right now is, we call it a holy shift. Amen? Because of this shift and change, because of the tearing of the fabric, God is creating everything. He's trying to get people to unload and release their garments for the garments of praise. Remember, the testimony that the Lord gave when he was explaining to them about those who tried to get into the wedding. And an individual did not have a wedding garment on. That wedding garment is a garment of praise. People don't realize that. They think they're getting in heaven because of their good works. Ain't going to work that way. It's the presence of God. It's vital. The presence of God, the presence of God, the presence of God. I don't care how much word you know. You can quote the word all day and still go to hell. It's God's presence that breaks the yoke of bondage. That opens eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to follow. That brings conviction. Amen? And which activates the word of God. Without God's presence, the word of God's not activated. Activates the sword of the Spirit so that you become a warrior and kick butt. It gives you boldness. And you don't care about your life because you're already dead. Hello. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we thank you for the new life, the eternal life. Please allow us to be the timeless fabric that you're writing on. And that's what our testimony is. You're writing our testimony on this timeless fabric so that the world may read it for your glory, for your honor and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.